Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. And to start this pod, it's an apology. Fair play to my mate Adam. I forgot to say we want the Glazers out at the start of the pod, and he was the only one that noticed it. So fair play to him. So apologies, and it will not happen again. Back to today, Manchester United back in action in the Premier League against Fulham at Craven Cottage. Team news is in. Only one change from the starting 11 that played against Arsenal. Now, you'll be surprised probably what the change is. Although, well, not necessarily surprised, but I think you would have thought if there was only going to be one change, it would be the goalkeeper. It's not the goalkeeper. Biondi starts. I mean, as I say, that just goes to tell you how shambolic Manchester United's goalkeeping situation is. Biondi or Onana. And as I say, with Tom Heaton, some people say he should be given an opportunity. A goalkeeper that's not played for a couple of years. Manchester United should not be using their third choice goalkeeper unless they've got massive injuries in the goalkeeping department. I mean, they did last season and he still didn't get an opportunity. So looking at the team before, I'm not sure if I saw him on the bench actually, but Onana is on the bench. Biondi does start. So that's it's a vote of confidence from the manager, but it's whether Biondi steps up and proves that selection correct, because Fulham will be thinking, right, we know where every corner and free kicks go, well, especially corners, right underneath this goalkeeper. But maybe the goalkeeper goalkeeper coach has done some work with Biondi, because we need to be stronger in there. So as I say, Biondi in goal, it's Ahmad who comes in on the right hand side for Dalot, and then it's De Ligt, Yoro and Luke Shaw, with Dorgu on the left, Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro, the two in the midfield. And then up front to start, Sesko starts on the bench. It's Mount, Cunha and Mbeumo. Is it Mbeumo or Mbeumo? Apologies if I've got that wrong. I'm sure I'll master it by the end of the season. Hopefully saying positive things about the football club as well. Positives and some plaudits last week against Arsenal, but they didn't get the result. It was just another defeat, and defeats start getting racked up. Then you've got nowhere to go. As I say, I mean, United need to actually show that turning up and play well against Arsenal is one thing. They need to show and turn up well against other teams in the league. And this week, I mentioned it last week, this week is huge. Fulham away in the league, then Grimsby away in the League Cup, and they ain't going to be laying out the red carpet for Manchester United. They're going to be sticking the boot in, which is fair enough. And then it's Burnley at home on Saturday, so a huge week, and United could do with, well, three wins would be fantastic, but they could do with good performances, obviously, but they need to get some results. Craven Cottage has been a good hunting ground for Manchester United in the last few years. I think it's three seasons in a row they have won at Craven Cottage. The last couple have been slightly fortunate. Won a last minute Bruno Fernandes strike. The keeper should have done better. And last year's one against was a Martinez Bluter. A bit of deflection into the back of the net. And Fulham will be looking for revenge. They will want to get a result against Manchester United because they will feel hard done by. I think they were the only team United beat home and away in the league last season. They did lose to them in the FA Cup on penalties in the end, so they got some sort of revenge there, but Fulham didn't win the FA Cup from there, so for Manchester United, there's a lot more pressure on them. Fulham got a late equaliser against away at Brighton in their first match, so they're going to be coming into this game full of confidence, thinking, right, it's our first home match, we need to put on a show for our home fans. And this Manchester United side aren't all that, even though they did put in a reasonable performance against Arsenal. But United need to find a way to score goals for the one thing, and also keeping goals out the other end and defending set pieces better. I mean, Biondi is at fault for the goal, but the defending in front of him wasn't the greatest. But he needs to command his box. He needs to be telling defenders where to go, what to do, and making sure that the players of the opposition do not just get in his way. And as I say, it was a weak flap at the ball that led to the goal. And people can say United maybe deserved a draw from that game, but they didn't get one. You need to get results, as I say. Fulham deserved at least a draw in the away match last season, but they didn't get it. So, in the, you know, United walk away with the 3 points and happy days. So, yeah, I suppose United would take that again. But what you want to see, and, you know, I did see it. I did see there seems to be a bit more cohesion in regards of the players understanding the role in this 3-4-2-1 system, but there were still issues within the midfield, as I say, with Bruno and Casemiro. It's a very slow midfield, and they need to be in their positions, and they are slow, so there can be gaps created. So United will need to be solid in that position, as I say, going forward. Cunha and Mbeumo were really good going forward. They might have had a reasonable game, but what I'd say is Cunha, Mbeumo was involved throughout. Cunha really only got more involved when Sesko came on. It'll be interesting to see who plays through the middle. Are they going to interchange? And it'll also be nice to see that Ahmad and Bruno, combination. It looked like there were things that could work there. There were times when there were sort of miscommunications, but they've only just started playing together, so that could be really good for United. But Ahmad is an attacking position in that right-hand side, so is that something Fulham will look to sort of sneak and get behind? We shall see. I'm on the walk to my friend Linda's. We'll be back post-match with my thoughts. Manchester United need to get something out of this game, but let's just see how they get on. So all over at Craven Cottage, it's finished Fulham 1, Manchester United 1. I mean, I would call that actually a reasonable point for Manchester United, because they were actually quite fortunate to get to the point where, you know, they could easily have lost that game. I mean, in regard to the tail of the tape, United started strongly. Couple of opportunities for Cunha. First one, some great football, then a shot that hit the post, and then secondly, a chance. He's got scores. A great save from Leno, but he's got to put the ball into the back of the net. Fulham slowly, bit by bit, after about 15, 20 minutes, clawed themselves back into the game. They put pressure on United at corners putting the ball on the Bandier did make a couple of good saves. Gary Neville didn't want to say that, though, to be fair. It's fair, the commentator did at the end of the first half. Gary Neville didn't want to say that for whatever reason. And as I say, he knows the goalkeeper situation is a shambles. And as I say, people think, oh, bring in Anana. No, he's crap as well. So, but then, so let's say, for about 15, 20 minutes, it was pretty even. And then United did get a penalty. I think it's one of these where it probably was a foul, but I also think there was some stuff going on behind Calvin Bassey grabbing Mason Mount. And I think there was probably a little bit of justice about Bruno Fernandes missing the penalty. Although to be fair, he will say, and he has said, you know, the referee didn't apologise to him because he affected his routine. Who cares about your routine, Bruno? Put the ball in the back of the net. And to be fair to Bruno, he did say that's not the reason why I missed the penalty. But who cares if the ref interrupts you or not? You still have an opportunity to put the ball in the back of the net and at least put the ball on target. But he blasted it over. It's probably a little bit of justice, because, as I say, you know, if the ref... I mean, it's one of those that if it's given against you, you are absolutely fuming. They did interview Calvin Bassey after the game, and he talked well around it, and it's one of them that you will take if you get. But if it was against you, you'd be absolutely fuming, and understandably so. So into the second half, and again, it was pretty even, and Fulham did come out better. I mean, United were nowhere near sort of the kind of performance that they say, the performance that they put in last week against Arsenal. But you go into Fulham is Fulham's first home game of the season. It's a place United have had difficulty, and it's quite interesting. I mean, they have won their last three games there. They've actually won their last eight games there, actually. But actually, I think United played better today than they did in their previous three matches, which they won. Where they were extremely lucky to get the victories in their last three games. If those games had ended in draws, I don't think anybody would have had any complaints. Whereas I think today, if they'd taken those first half opportunities, it could have been 2 or 3 nil up. To say one is from the penalty spot as well, which essentially you should be putting the ball in the back of the net. then United could have been done and dusted. They did actually did take the lead, and again they were fortunate, because I think it was a push in the back. I mean, Calvin Bassett was weak, because this guy is strong as an ox when he wants to be. It was but two hands in the back, and it was a header that was actually going wide. It actually ended up as an own goal. 200 million on strikers, and they still can't actually. I mean, it would have been a defender's goal, but it was actually, although a striker did actually put the ball in the net, which was Muniz for Fulham. So United haven't actually put the ball in the back of the net themselves yet, despite promising opportunities and chances they have created in the last couple of games. They've definitely created more opportunities in the games, and they definitely look more dangerous push forward. But this game from a corner, so it was Yoro with a header, and then after a push on Bassi, then it was deflected off Muniz to take the lead. Obviously, this was just before the hour mark, but you still had a feeling that Fulham were gonna put the pressure on. They brought on Emil Rose-Smith, who actually got the equaliser after a lovely ball in from Iwobi. But United were their own worst enemies. They've already cleared the ball. Dalot, shocking control. Just to let Iwobi get the ball. It's just awful, awful defending. The crossing, should Dalot have cleared it? Maybe he should have, or stuck a leg out at it. But Bruno Fernandes just let Emil Smith Rowe run off the back of him. People say Bruno Fernandes is not a defensive midfielder. He's not a defensive midfielder. He's probably not a midfielder. But you still have to look and see and look for danger. And Smith Rowe just ran into a massive gap. And probably Dalot thinks to himself, why is nobody there? Because there was a massive gap, because see all the defenders had moved across. And it was Bruno Fernandes' man at that stage, and Smith Rowe put it into the back of the net. Although Gary Neville actually gave Barndale some credit by saying, oh, he didn't have a chance, Barndale, whether you know he really wanted to. He was probably looking at it thinking, how can I blame him for that? I mean, let's be honest, Gary Neville wants, well, he probably does want Tom Heaton in goal, because he's the certain nationality that he likes. Because it was quite interesting when Harry Maguire came on, he gave him credit for everything. So as I say, I've said before and I'll say it again, Gary Neville commentating on United matches, no thank you. I can't mute it because I was at Linda's, so it's her TV, she can do what she wants with her. I'm very happy when I'm at home, I can just mute Gary Neville. As I say, just stay in the studio for United games, please, Gary. And at that stage, Fulham looked dangerous. It looked like they could win the game. And for about the next 5 minutes or so, they sort of were putting a lot more pressure on Manchester United. I mean, to be fair, Marco Silva, he's stuck in Iwobi into just a slot in the midfield, but Ruben didn't really counter that, to be fair. I mean, Agati did come on and he did close down some gaps. Casemiro got booked for a ridiculous dive, and he slid in at one point completely out of position in the second half, early in the second half, and that basically was him taken off to allow, it actually started off with Mason Mount going in there, to be fair, and then a guy came on for Mason Mount, and that's sort of when Silva was sort of exploiting that gap in the midfield. But for the final 10 minutes, it pretty much was sort of at arm's length from both teams. There were opportunities with free kicks and corners that were coming in, but both defended them really well. And Maguire did have a header that just went wide at one point, but United wouldn't have deserved that victory. But they got the point, and I think it's actually a reasonable point in the grand manner of schemes, as I say. Reasonable, a decent performance enough against Arsenal last week, but you've got to try and get the result. Today, another defeat would have been a disaster, and I mean, this point is only a reasonable one if they, you know, they've got to beat Burnley next week at Old Trafford next Saturday. So that's going to be a huge game, and all the pressure will be on United and the manager and the players. But they'll need to step up, and you know, it's 4 points out of 9, a reasonable start to the season, probably. When you look at the fixtures that you've got, I mean, not a lot of teams will necessarily go to Fulham and pick up a point. But for what United want to do, they need to be when they put themselves in a position where they're in control in regards of they've scored the first goal, they've got to try and push on to get a second or a third goal. And as I say, the opportunities they had in the first half, they could have been 2 or 3 nil up. And then that, I'm not saying that would have been game over, because this United side can collapse. But they didn't, as I say, after that sort of 5 minutes after the goal, they didn't look like collapsing, which is a good thing. And you hope that the mentality of the players is better. And, you know, when things go against them, you have to be able to bounce back, because that's what football's about. You can be the best team, but then have a goal against it, and then you need to bounce back. Or even if you're not the best team, if you get that goal, you've got to take advantage of that, those little bits of luck. And United didn't get the early goal, which their play, I mean, not saying deserve, but their play should have got, because they had the opportunities. You're given a penalty, you blast it over the bar. You know, you deserve what you get if you don't take your opportunities. And they're things that, obviously, the players need to work on, the management, the coaching staff need to work on. And the big issue, obviously, there are issues in midfield, but the biggest issue is the goalkeeper. As I say, you could have the best midfield and say you're controlling games, but if every time you have a corner, you think to yourself you're going to let a goal in, then that's going to be a problem as well. So, Bournemouth United, they move up to 16th, but as I say, I think you need to wait till three games in before you start making proper judgments on the table. As I say, Brighton are now in the bottom three, but I bet you there won't be any write-up about that. But if United had ended up in the bottom three, there would have been, because even though we're absolute crap football team and a shambles of a football club, negative Man United comment is what a lot of certain journalists and media absolutely love. And as I say, nobody's going to feel sorry for us, and that's fine. People don't necessarily want Manchester United to do well. Obviously I do, I'm a Manchester United fan, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and anybody who thought that wasn't the case after the Arsenal game was deluded, just because they performed quite well. And as I say, we're talking about the penalty Bassi gave away. Could easily argue that the one that Saliba on Cunha last week, surely that's a penalty then as well. But as I say, for me, both aren't necessarily penalties, but it'll be down to if the ref's seen it, oh, if it's on the list of things the PGMOL are looking at. I mean, remember, you're not allowed to lean anymore in football, because if you handball it and lean and leave your arm in the right place, it's a penalty or handball. As I say, that's not given on the halfway line on one at Leeds Everton. The one, as I say, it's not a penalty for me. But as I say, people like Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher think it was. I think that's all you need to know about the analysis. But anyway, a point for United, and work to do with Grimsby coming up, and then Burnley. As I say, two victories are needed, and you know, losing to Grimsby, even if it's on penalties, is unacceptable, to be perfectly honest. But getting Sesko involved will be important. He did come on after about 50 minutes, didn't really get too much of a touch of the ball, didn't really get involved in the game, and we need to find ways to get him involved. I mean, Cunha, I didn't even know he was playing in the second half. So it is important that United find ways to try and control football matches when teams do make tactical tweaks. And obviously that is down to the manager to look at things and to see where things happen. But as I say, when you had a midfield two of Bruno Fernandes and Mason Mount, I mean, that answers a lot of questions, in the fact that there's no specific defensive style player in that match. And you can't be playing against teams in the Premier League, because anybody can beat anybody on their day, especially when you're away from home. And you know, fair play to Marco Silva, he saw that and made that decision. And Iwobi was the guy that was dominating that match at that point. As I say, it was sort of shut down to a little bit of an extent when Ogata came on. But, you know, there was still opportunities for them. And obviously with the home crowd behind them, then they're going to put pressure on. But United managed to see it out to get what is an important point, I think. As I say, you keep losing matches, That's never a good thing. But as I say, you can't keep drawing matches either. You need to be trying to get victories as well. Those 3 points are important. And it looks like it may be a bit of a tighter Premier League this season. As I say, there's you've only got West Ham and Wolves who have lost both their games at the start of the season. The promoter sides have got results. They've all won a game. So they'd say that all three of them are above Manchester United. So they're playing a little bit of catch-up. But as I say, two games into the season, let's all relax and chill out. But it's clear where the issues are in that football club. As I say, please, goalkeeper, please, ASAP. But we'll see. As I say, that keeper will be under massive pressure as well when they start. So as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up as various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Podcast. Search MUFC Global and it will come up. Big up to my mate Matt, who's doing the he's doing a little bit of the uploading, because Q8 he's still jollying, so I think Matty will be doing it for the next couple of ones, and the curator is back for the Burnley game, so I'll be trying to find somewhere to watch that, or I might have to listen, depending on my, the situation, of course. Nothing illegal, of course, but yeah, so United need to bounce back, and as I say, it's 3 days till the Grimsby game, and I think there will be some changes, and you know, maybe the manager has to look at sort of trying to get, especially that balancing midfield, they need a few more legs so that there's less gaps, but we'll be interested to see who he puts up, and if Sesko starts. I mean, I actually would have him on the bench, because Grimsby are going to stick the boot in, but then have him ready for the Burnley game, home debut against Burnley. And let's see what he can do, and then hopefully we can provide the bullets for him. So, as always, thanks for listening. And we'll be back after the Grimsby game on Wednesday night.